the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So the government has a plan, another plan in relation to housing, and this time what it wants to do is reduce the minimum size of certain apartments, apparently to bring the cost of construction down by anywhere between 50,000 and 100,000 per unit. In a moment we'll talk to Kate English, Chief Economist at Deloitte, but first Professor Orla Hegarty from the School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy at University College Dublin. What do you make as an architect of what's been proposed?
It's really surprising. The government has tried this before and it's failed. We know that it doesn't give us better quality housing. It's very poor quality housing. And we also know that it doesn't make it any more affordable for people. And the bigger issue then, not only will we have worse quality housing and no cheaper, but it will cause enormous delay and disruption in the market while they again change standards.
Okay, tell us what is involved in the proposal from the government.
Well, what has been published so far indicates that from a three-bedroom apartment, you would effectively lose about 15 square metres, which is the size of a double bedroom. So they would be effectively taking out one double bedroom and then squashing all the other standards down into the area that's left. Moving down then through the other size of apartments into a studio that would be reduced down. So that's a one-room home effectively would be reduced down to 32 square metres. And just so that people could visualise that, that's about 2.5 standard parking spaces. So it's smaller than most hotel rooms. And that would now become somebody's permanent home.
Okay. And there are other issues as well, aren't there, in relation to sort of shared spaces and the number of units that are allowed per lift?
Well, we don't have any detail on that. We already had a whole raft of reduced standards and numbers of years ago. As we know, there was unintended consequences. It meant having fewer lifts and stairs meant developments couldn't be phased. So it actually added to the finance cost rather than reducing the construction cost because they had to be built in very large phases and developers were finding them hard to finance. That also impacts on things like fire safety, noise, privacy between neighbours, cooking smells and corridors, all the things that make apartment living very difficult for people and again just push people further into the commuter belt, more sprawl.
Okay, just explain a little bit, sorry, you might have mentioned, but this dual aspect thing, can you explain how that works?
Yeah, the dual aspect means that you have windows on more side of your building. And these things are really important in terms of the quality of your spaces. You know, we tend to take daylight for advantage because a lot of us live in houses and we're used to having decent quality light in our homes. But if you only have windows on one side, and particularly if it's on the north or the northeast of the building, you'll have your electric light on for some of the day. You don't get decent quality light. We're very far north in Europe. That impacts people's mental health and enjoyment of their home. But also having windows on two sides means you can ventilate your home properly. If your window's on one side, you're susceptible to overheating in winter. And you're also susceptible to stale air buildup, which makes it unhealthy to be in.
Okay, so tell us then, how many extra apartments do you think could be gotten into a sort of a standard block by reducing these sizes?
Well, I suppose it would depend on the individual schemes, and I'm sure a lot of developers have sent their architects back to the drawing board today and paused schemes to see what they can squeeze in. It's also worrying that they're not going to have a limit on how many small units you can have. That's been suggested. And then what we'll get is effectively buildings that are like hotels with long corridors, very small units, sort of worker housing barracks rather than family homes, which is what we badly need.
But could it be that, at least if it makes them affordable, that they're sort of stepping stones for people who may be able to get them a cheaper rent before they then move somewhere else, or could even perhaps buy as a stepping stone to buying somewhere else later?
Well, I've had a look at the department's own published figures for construction costs today. On their own figures, they're saying a two-bedroom apartment, the structural cost of that is about 50,000 to 52,000 euro. If you're taking 10% off the floor area, you're probably only taking 10% off the structure. That's about 5,000 euro plus VAT. You're not reducing any of the high-value items, your kitchen, bathroom, windows, doors, electrics, heating. They will all be exactly the same. So I can't see where they're getting this 50,000 to 100,000, and I think they need to publish some evidence. This is too important to get wrong.
Kate English, Chief Economist at Deloitte. From what you've seen of what's been published, do you think is this going to mean that we will have more apartments and that we will have more affordable apartments?
I think certainly from what I've seen published so far, this is something that is worth exploring further. Like everything, when we see new policies or suggestions of changes to policies being announced, my approach is to apply almost the supply test. Does this have the ability to provide more supply? Because we know that is the crux of our issue. We're not delivering enough units of all sizes and all types. On paper, from reading this, I see this as potentially, yes, it does. Why? It has the potential to reduce overall costs, improve viability, and therefore deliver units. There are still an awful lot of questions, certainly with what has been announced over the weekend and today. And I think if from a developer's perspective, they would be waiting to see clarity on those. They'll certainly be running new models, but also waiting for answers from government as well. But on paper, there is something here that's worth exploring. If it can deliver more units, why would we not explore that?
But is it not likely to be, as Orla has suggested, that now the developers who already have planning permission for apartment blocks will just go back and get them redrawn on these new specifications, and that will further delay the supply?
That is a potential unintended negative side effect of this. And I think it's why it's critical with any new policies that are being put forward or iterations, that when they begin to be discussed, that we see movement on it quite quickly. And we saw this a number of weeks ago, for example, when there were changes announced to RPZs, the rent caps that were there, rental pressure zones. And messaging coming through from that was, this is enough to reduce that viability gap that's there for rental apartments, but it doesn't close it. More needs to happen, but it needs to happen quickly. Because as you said, if you allow a kind of void where there's a much longer period of uncertainty and while you're waiting to see, well, what are the actual details here? How are they implemented? Of course, people will sit back. So that is a real danger. But again, it doesn't take away from the fact that I do think there is potential in this and it does need to be looked at.
But could it really be? By taking 5 square metres off the size of a studio apartment, could you really be making it 50 to 100,000 euro cheaper?
Listen, I'm not a surveyor. I'm not going to put costs on this here today, but I have had numerous conversations with others who are much more experienced in that field than I am throughout the day. And certainly kind of what was coming through is if we only saw an announcement of a change to, for example, just the minimal size and not the other proposals that are in there as well in terms of the changing of that maximum number of units you could have per core or some of the changes there to the dual aspect or indeed the unit mix, that then no on its own, it wouldn't be enough. But there are actually quite a number of changes here that combined have that additionality effect and do potentially to better viability. And I do think it's worth picking up on some of the comments that were mentioned earlier in your first speaker around, you know, the unit mix. We do know that demographic trends show that we have a requirement in Ireland to deliver more 1 and 2 bed units. You know, when we look at our current housing stock, the majority of that is in 3 bed units and higher. So we need to ensure that we are delivering those smaller units as well. So don't let this steer us away from looking at this proposal to see, will it pass that supply test, as I said at the outset, that number one is most important here, and I think it has possibilities.
Well, listener says, builders will just build smaller apartments and sell them at the same prices now and make bigger profits. However, it is also the case that there will be no change to the sizes allowed for 1-bedroom 2-person units or 2-bedroom 4-person units or 3-bedroom 5-person unit minimum sizes. They will stay as set out in the current guidelines. And Orla Hegarty, although you said that it could be now that many developers will go back and try and change the size of their apartments, reapply for new planning permission, isn't the reality at present that most of them aren't actually using the planning permissions they have because they say it's uneconomic to build what they've been given permission for?
Well, We could argue that one. There are plenty of schemes that have permission and they're finding them hard to fund them. Sometimes they're finding them hard to fund them because of market conditions. There's constraints on construction capacity, constraints on infrastructure, constraints on finance being available in the private investor sector and other reasons. It doesn't mean that making them smaller will make them any more viable. And I would argue the case against the smaller units in the city, that you can say that we have a lot of larger family housings in this country, but the need is very spatially specific. We don't have larger units in our cities, and the only way to have sustainable development in our cities is to make them attractive to families, and larger family units that are permanent housing that set down roots and form a community. You don't build a city on a transient population who work and live somewhere for a short amount of time and move on, and then you fill the suburbs with people who are having to commute long distances. We tried this before, and what's amazing is, you know, when Kay talks there about, you know, we look at the detail, it was all done. We did this experiment in the end of 2017. The department published their revised standards. They had a public consultation. I have all the documentation looking at it today from that. All of the things that were warned at that time actually happened. It was very disrupted. It didn't make things cheaper. It just made things lower standard, and it delayed everything.
Okay.
We don't need
to. I'll let me keep back in on that.
May I just add to that? I think it's important to note here, in all the conversations we're having about delivering houses or apartments, essentially residential accommodation, that we don't get tracked down the narrow route of providing units solely for families. Cities will have households of one or two persons, some of them of those transient nature. That's how cities evolve and flow. And I think a lot of times we get sucked into that narrative within Ireland of not looking at, you know, we need many different types of accommodation throughout your entire life, be it from when you're first born into a family unit, beginning through your years of school, college, early professional years, then when you have a family, and again into later life. So I do think that's really important to pull through here. And also a second point as well that I would add on some of those comments coming through on the text line is, we don't actually have a build to sell market here for apartments at the moment, because they are so expensive to deliver. Any ones that are being delivered are very much so at that upper end of the market solely because of costs. If, again, this can reduce viability, does, or increase viability by reducing costs, does it open the door to having a build to sell market at a level that's much more applicable to a larger cohort of the population?
Okay, and very briefly, Aura Hegarty, the size that's been suggested here, studio apartments, 32 square metres, are those common throughout continental Europe?
Well, standards vary a lot around Europe, and it depends. And sometimes people are allowed smaller in existing buildings where units existed already. But generally, the ambition for new build is better than that. It is definitely better than
okay.
that.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there.
We need to have some vision, I think, in decent standard housing.
Professor Orla Hegarty from UCD and Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte. Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.